You're listening to Radio Diaries. This is Joe, and I have some exciting news from the Radiotopia family. Ear Hustle is back with a new season. Hosts Nigel Poor and Earlonne Woods are bringing you unique, surprising stories from four California prisons. This season, they have some truly interesting perspectives. You'll hear from people who are so comfortable in prison that they no longer want to be free. And you'll hear from mothers of inmates about the complicated reality of having adult children in prison. The show is full of candid interviews and thought-provoking conversations, and it just keeps getting better. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts and at earhustlesq.com. This episode of Radio Diaries is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. We also have support from Indeed. Finding new hires shouldn't feel like a second job, and that's why Indeed only matches you with quality candidates that fit your job description. Indeed makes hiring more organized. You can screen, message, and schedule interviews with candidates all in one place. So try it out. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/diaries. Just go to Indeed.com/diaries right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Radiotopia. From PRX.
From PRX's Radiotopia, this is Radio Diaries. I'm Joe Richman. This month, the big tent is finally coming down. After 146 years, Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey are closing the greatest show on earth. The elephants have already retired to a farm in Central Florida. Where will the 400 human cast and crew members go next? Well, perhaps they'll go just an hour west of that elephant farm, to Gibsonton, Florida, once known as the oddest town in America.
Our theme is the tallest man in the world, the smallest and tiniest person on the face of the earth, the fattest of all fat people, and the thinnest man alive.
Gibsonton, Florida, also known as Gibtown, lies on Highway 41 south of Tampa. In the 1940s, the town became a hub for carnival sideshow performers in the off-season. The fire chief was Altamani the Giant. The second deputy of police was a dwarf. The sideshow Fat Man was also the town's auto mechanic. And Gibsonton had the only post office in the country with a special counter for midgets. But by the time I first visited Gibsonton, many years ago, the town had become more of a retirement village. Today on the show, remembering Gibtown. One of the first people I met in Gibtown was Melvin Burkhart. He was 86 years old at the time. Melvin had been in the freak shows, but not as a human oddity. He was what's known as a working act. Since he was a teenager, he had been swallowing swords and eating fire and performing magic. But he became famous as Melvin the Human Blockhead. Being a blockhead means tilting your head back and hammering nails, spikes, and ice picks up your nose.
Now, this is the human blockhead act, in which I drive a spike in my head and where the devil is? And I've got another bigger one in there yet. Oh, here it is. Now, you want to see that?
I'd love to see that.
Okay, watch. Here's a 20-penny spike, 50-cent hammer, and a no-sense head. I'm going to drive a spike in my head. Watch. You can see that it's only entering a little bit there. But then as you hit it and control that hitting, it's going further and further, see?
Gosh.
You've got it in there now. And then you can control exactly how far it's going to go.
How far is it in now?
That far.
What's that, about 4 inches?
I'd say it was near 5. You want to see if we measure it?
The spikes are real. The trick is they go from Melvin's nose down into his throat passage. Melvin performed this act all over the country. In the 1939 World's Fair, on the Coney Island Boardwalk, he toured with Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus. and his stage name, Melvin the Human Blockhead, was coined by Mr. Ripley of Ripley's Believe It or Not. The Blockhead Act had been around for years, but Melvin took it to a new level.
I'd had my nose broken while boxing several times, and they had to have an operation on it called a submucous operation, in which they went up in the nose, cut a flap in it, pulled out little bone fragments. And I'd seen a fellow doing an act where he had a little nail tapping it up his nose, and I thought, my goodness, I ought to be able to do this, so I started trying to do it. Pretty soon I got so good at it that everybody else since then now tries to imitate me. Don't get me wrong. I'm still considered the top, see, of the human blockheads. Well, Jeannie.
Hello.
Hello, good looking. What's cooking?
How are you, honey?
Jeannie Tammany was one of the first residents of Giptown. She moved there in 1936 with her husband, Al.
Oh, it was just all swampland is all it was. The whole place had to be cleared, and some had to be filled, and it was a lot of work. But we moved down, and all of our gang that was on the show with us and everything moved down. Sword Swallower and a fat lady and a midget and you know, people, sideshow people. And then they spread the word to other friends of theirs, and they all just decided they liked it. I guess you could say we were attracted to each other because we all sort of stick together.
Jeannie and Al Tammany were billed in the carnivals as the world's strangest married couple.
He was 8 feet, 4.5 inches tall, and I was the world's only living half girl. Every once in a while, Mother Nature makes a goof, and the only thing really different about me, of course, I have no legs, you probably noticed that, and I have no elbow on this arm, so it can't bend. But other than that, I don't have any problem. Now that I've gotten older, I don't get around as well as I could.
Around the 1960s, it began to get harder for people like Jeannie to get work. Freak shows were no longer viewed as entertainment, but as exploitation. Florida and other states started enforcing old laws barring the commercial exhibition of people with deformities. Around the country, more and more people were objecting to the sideshows. In Giptown, these people were given a name, the do-gooders.
Well, really, the do-gooders didn't do any good coming in to try to run our lives for us. No matter what you'd made back then, it was big money. And when you had a whole flock of kids like my mother did, big money sounded good. And I would do a little acrobatic routine. I don't do it anymore, don't ask me. And I'd go from Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, all around there, those little fairs. That's how I got started in it, when I was 3. So many people say, oh, how horrible, how terrible, you know. I was 3 years old, and people came in, and being no legs, I about yay high, and they thought that was great, and they'd bring me dolls and candy and gifts. And one of the men that had a miniature pony used to come out after we closed at night, and he would let me ride his pony. Well, that was heaven to me, any kind of a horse. So I had no problem with it. I enjoyed it.
Did you continue to enjoy it as the years went on?
Yeah, I did. I did even when we were on the road. We used to look the people over and say, well, this one looks like a doctor, this one, he must be a butcher, things like that. Because you had to keep yourself entertained. You couldn't just sit there all day long and stare into outer space. We had a lot of little methods like that that would take our minds off of whoever was staring. You know, the crowd looks at the freaks, and the freaks look at the crowd, and that's about how it is. You'd be surprised how many weird-looking people you can find in an audience. They think they're perfectly normal.
Jeannie Tammany, who called herself the half-girl. Jeannie died in 1999 at the age of 82. Melvin Burkhart, the human blockhead, died in 2001. He was 94. And still hammering nails up his nose till the very end. The last human oddity in Giptown was Poobah, the fire-eating dwarf. He died in 2012. Today, if you're driving down Highway 41 and you pass through Gibsonton, Florida, you won't see many signs of the old carnival sideshows. What was once called the oddest town in America now looks pretty much like every other town in America.
If I was a circus man, then I'd be a circus man. Only you could. could understand. All my life ahead of me, that's the way it ought to be. Circus, take me away.
Radio Diaries is produced by me, Joe Richman, Sarah Kate Kramer, and Nellie Gillis. Our editors are Deborah George and Ben Shapiro. Radio Diaries is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. Go to radiotopia.fm to hear some of the best podcast storytelling around. Thanks to Daniel Johnson for his song Circus Man. I'm Joe Richman. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another story on the Radio Diaries podcast.
If I was a circus man, only you would understand. There's a story there to tell. See your brother burn in hell.
Radiotopia.